Hello, Yes But Why listeners. This is your host, Amy Jordan. Welcome to Yes But Why episode 310, my conversation with creative mentor and entrepreneur, Bria Landry. But first, let's talk about our sponsors. Yes But Why podcast is sponsored by Audible. You can sign up today for your 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/yesbutwhy. Audible's a pretty great resource for any books that you're looking to read. A lot of people have been talking lately about how they don't know if it's reading, if they're listening to it, but I'm consuming information into my brain, so I think it counts. There's so many different things that Audible makes, like original content from books and podcasts, and you can also listen to podcasts that are available everywhere, just like Guess But Why. And thank you to all you guys who are using Audible to listen to us. We appreciate you. Go now to audibletrial.com/yesbutwhy to sign up and get your account today. Yes But Why podcast is also brought to you by PodcastCadet.com. PodcastCadet.com is the company that my husband Chris and I run to help podcasters. We are available to you to do some editing for you. We can help you get you started. We can help figure out how you're going to write your script for your fictional podcast. Whatever it is that you need help with, contact us. We are here for you. We have recently been helping all sorts of different people with lots of different aspects of podcasting, pretty much just sort of like guiding them to figure out where they need to move on the path. So let us be there for you. And we just really want to help everybody who wants to make a podcast. It's a fun time for us. You can have a fun time too. And hey, if you happen to purchase something from us, you can get 20% off by using the code YBY. 20. You know what I mean? It's going to be great. PodcastCadet.com. This week on Yes But Why, I chatted with Bria Landry, founder of Off the Wall Media and Entertainment in Houston, Texas. Listen in as Bria discusses how much she loves chaos, from driving an ambulance to putting on a play with 50 third graders. Whoa. I had such a fun time talking to Bria. She's such a kind, nurturing person, and her creative community is lucky to have her. I now present to you Yes But Why episode 310, Bria Landry on the chaos and the joy of nurturing a creative community. Enjoy! I'm Amy Jordan, and this is
Yes But Why.
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 This is the Yes But Why podcast.
My kids, like, they call my office the theater too, which is why I was like laughing whenever you're like, I call everything the theater. That, like, no matter where we've been, like, it's always, if I'm going to work and it's my place of work, it's, oh, we're going to the theater. So yes, this didn't start off as, we just moved into this space. Actually, we're partnering with a hotel. So we are on the second floor of their, hotel space, and it's like their upstairs offices or whatever. So we're making it pretty, so it looks more creative, and all that. But one of my best friends, she's a radio show host. So she's making this room into like her radio show podcast area or whatever. So, so we are trying to get back into doing more theater things. I did theater forever. And when I started my own theater, it was the first time I had been back into it for about 12 years, 15 years or so. And I just started with youth theater. I was like, I'm just going to be a kid again, and I'm just going to play with the kids. We're just going to do kid shows, you know. And my theater director was super strict. All of my theater teachers were pretty strict. Yeah. So I kind of like took bits and pieces from all of the things that they did. And so that's how I am on my theater kids. I'm pretty like, you know, I'm a little more lax, and I feel like the older I get, the more I'll not care to be lax, as lax, you know, because I'm like, where I fall short and I am lax with them, it's probably somewhere where I should have been a little more stern, you know. But But I want to like try to keep that balance of them still having fun, but them being like, okay, so we must prepare. We must be ready. We can't let our team members down, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's been really fun since we got to the hotel, though. I haven't done youth theater. So it's been about the last production that we did was last summer with kids, because I've kind of accidentally transitioned into these other grown people that just need someone to love on them. And they're not necessarily theater. They sing and dance and do comedy and all those different other things. And I've just become everyone's like mom, everyone's like creative mom, theatrical mom, whoever, their auntie. Some of them I'm their auntie, some of them I'm their big sister. And so I've just kind of started finding like little homeless creatives everywhere and picking them up like, oh, come here. I'll hold you in my bosom and we can do the things and help you navigate this world. So that is what I've become. So, So I've kind of like shrunk my kids' shows or the things that I do with youth so that it doesn't intertwine too much, you know, like, cause I still hold my kids precious and dear and I don't want people around them and I want, you know, like they're all my, so I try to save them for their own time. So right now it's summers for youth and then everything else is all of my starving artists that we were trying to feed and get them to be able to plant their own seeds and grow their own plants and animals and farm metaphorically so they can blossom into beautiful careers. And so it's been really, really fun. It's a really like weird change of pace, to say the least, because they're anywhere from like 16, I say babies and grown-ups, but they're like 16 to, I've had some like 30s and 40s that are just like, I'm lost, help me. And I'm like, all right, let's go. So we travel. We just pick up random gigs. I find all kinds of things because people like to flock to me and like give me things. They're like, here, come use my space for people and things. And I'm like, I have people and things. I'm bringing them, you know. So it's been really, really, really fun. Like, I'm super enjoying life right now.
Great.
Yeah.
Have you always been so nurturing? Like, has this idea of you being the sort of mother hen of so many people always been the way you were?
Pretty much. Yeah. Yep. I really have. I've always been that, like, that friend or that sister. Like, a lot of people call me their sisters or whatever. And I've always been that one, especially when it comes to things outside of the box. Like anything creative, because you know people are like, oh no, you need to go work a 9-to-5 and this is what you do and this is how you do it, you know, like don't do anything crazy. So people have always like been attracted to me because I'm just like, all right, been there, done that, I'm gonna live my life and I'm gonna figure out how to do it, you know. And so people have always like, when they want to do something different, they're like, hey, so I have a question. So anyone who's ever started a business that's in my friend circle, they've always called me. I just need to know what to do. I don't even know. Help me think of a name. So I'm at midnight. We're like thinking up names for their new company, you know, or they're like, I don't know what business license, or I don't know how to, or what's a color scheme that I should, you know? So yeah, it's, people have always pretty much been like that. I've always been, like when I was younger, I knew I wanted to be a mom, like from the very beginning. And I actually, we were talking about childbirth. I'm a doula as well.
Whoa. You nurture everything. Wow.
I mean, I know what all the little blobs and stuff are, but I think I can read them a little better than the average Joe.
You do. You know what all the blobs are. It's great.
I can put out the head and the heart, and, you know.
Yeah, you can. I love it. Hey, man, if I happen to have another, I'll give you a call. That's great.
I would love to be there. I will. Hey.
Man, how fun.
Support. Yeah, that has been one of the coolest things I've done too. I started off in EMS and I drove ambulance for 6 years, and then I became a doula, which I wanted to be a obstetrician since I was like five. All the vagina guts and blood and all that stuff never scared me up. My mom was a home ed teacher. So I would watch all her like childbirth videos from all these random ladies giving birth. Yeah, that was me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Man, all these jobs though are so thematically similar. You know what I mean? Like, as far as the idea of this, like you are an obstetrician, but you're helping people give birth to different things.
Right. Oh, like, no, I love that. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, because even when you said I was in EMS, I drove an ambulance, I was like, of course you were. Like, what a... Yes, that's exactly right. Like, and you know what else? The other fun part about that, and I'm like totally down for this idea that you have where it's like, yeah, oh, these people are just telling you to get a 9-to-5 and that doesn't jive with you. Great. I'll tell you how to live a real life. And I'm like right. into that. But I also believe in like thematic jobs, meaning like, yeah, it's great. Maybe you want to be X or Y, but you know what's also fine? There are a number of other jobs that exist in the world that are adjacent to that. It's like, okay, what part of this job do you like, right? So you're right. The part that's like your center is the nurturing, right? So obstetrician, totally. EMS, absolutely. Doula, definitely. And then like helping people with their creative paths. 100%. Like, these are thematically all together, right? And so when people are like, I don't know where to go, or I don't know how to figure out what my next path is, it's all like, okay, well, let's brainstorm what's similar.
Becca Jawea right here.
Leading people through. That's right. Hopefully getting a modicum more respect along the way. But, you know, other than that, you know, definitely the main reason why there are maps, you guys. Becca Jawea.
Right. Right. Oh, my gosh. I've never heard anyone analyze me like that. I like it.
Pretty cool. Well, you know, I mean, I think about it with reference to even just the work that you do, helping other people to find it. Because as soon as you were like, oh, I like to help people figure out and navigate their lives, I was like, oh, man, yes, I love that. Anytime I have a chance to give advice in that way where I'm all like, oh, you want to live a not so normal life? I'm available. How can I help you?
Right. I specialize in not so normal, actually. Got a degree in it. Not from any formal place, because that would be a little too normal. Uh-huh.
Though I feel like now that's a class you need to teach. Like, it's like the not so normal guide to life.
Right. Yeah. I love it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Don't add anything else to my plate. I will do it.
I know. I'm sorry. You're like, that is a good idea. You pull out a notebook. You're like, one moment. Your husband's like, don't. Why?
Right.
Not another project.
No, the cool thing about my boyfriend is he is also just a super creative. He produces music. And like, he does a lot of, I don't even really know how to classify his music. It's very different. You can definitely tell, like, my mom heard him making beats one day. And then one day I was listening to some of his beats because I was going live, and I like to go live with people's music that I know so that I can tag them and all that kind of stuff and support them. So I don't ever go live usually with like normal music or anything like that. It's always people I know. So I was going live with this music. My mom called me and she's like, is your boyfriend back there making his beats? And I'm like, no, that is his music. You recognize it, because he's one of those who hoards his music. He has not released anything ever.
Oh.
Like, really. He hoards it. And I'm like, what are you waiting for? I'm going to start leaking your music. So I have started leaking his music. Because I'm like, hey, if people knew how dope you were, like, people need to know. And his like, so when he makes music, like, his name is Alex Galaxy, but when like, for everything else, he goes by Artistic Virtuoso, or AV for short. Yes, or art. Art, artistic virtuoso, AV. So I'm like, his screen handle or whatever you call it, what is the Instagram name, is Virtuoso Dope. And I'm like, but people need to know. Like, so yeah, I'm even trying to pimp him out too. So
I mean, why not, right? You know,
right.
He's the main one, you know.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. If anyone should be pimped out, it should be him.
Yeah, for sure. You know, like, get some of those songs out there so that someone will be like, I would love to give you money for those songs.
Right. Exactly. I think, you know, like, you probably know this really well. Like, us creatives, like, we create some beautiful, dope things, but we're so self-conscious about it. Yeah, it's so terrible. Mm-hmm. I hate it because I hear, I'll have a singer come up to me, or like even him with his beats, and they're like so dope, and he's just like, yeah, they're cool. So anyways, about other stuff that we could talk about. And I'm like, no, let's talk about how awesome your stuff is, you know? So,
you know what? Honest to goodness, like, you think I'm analyzing you, you see right into me. Exactly. Right before I moved to Austin, I had a boyfriend who was such an amazing musician, like, yeah, so good, like, unbelievable on the guitar. Could just pick it up at any state he's in. He just picks it up. It's amazing. You're like, what? What's that? What are you doing? He just whips out songs. He would sing me songs all the time. He wrote me five or six songs. And I was like, oh my God, like, really amazing stuff. Did anyone ever hear them? No. Did he ever record any single one of them? No. Like, it killed me. And it was just like, he was just so, I don't know, involved in his own whatever journey that he was going on. And before we broke up, I was like, listen, whatever you do, just please get your music out there. Please.
Yeah.
Like, people need to hear this. They want to hear this. I mean, it's like, it was very almost like John Mayer-esque, but like, John Mayer wishes he could be him. Like that's how good he is, you know, like, with the quick guitar, like, little, you know, just amazing, right?
Wow.
And after that, after I broke up with him and I moved to Austin after that, and I started getting involved in improv at that point. And I really thought to myself, I don't ever want people to do that around me anymore. If you have a talent, you need to get it out there. Like, you have to show it to someone, right?
Yes.
Maybe not 100 people, maybe not the internet. I get these things are scary, but small groups, and maybe record it and then let someone listen to it while not in the room with you. That's a thing, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, after that, it was like my whole journey in Austin in improv was about becoming a person who would recruit for the theater and whatnot, thinking just exactly what we're talking about, which is like, you have a talent and you need to put it on stage. Like, come be on this, be with this theater, come do this thing.
Like, they don't realize that's their whole purpose.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of your purpose. Like, these are gifts that God has entrusted you with, or whatever your religious beliefs are, but you were entrusted with this gift, and it's not for yourself.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like, and the thing is, like, I was talking to my friend, and she was saying that one of her shows, someone came to her afterwards and was like, you helped me so much just by what you said today on your show. And she was like, oh my God, if I just help that one person, like, I have done, you know? And I'm like, those gifts, like, you never know who needs to hear it, who, like, how it can speak to someone else. Maybe not even for you. It may be a gift or a message for someone else. And it could, I can't remember. I just heard this like a couple weeks ago. Someone's song, they, like, one of their fans told them that they were literally about to go commit suicide, and they heard their song and stopped and thought about it and decided not to, and to go get help. And I'm like, dude, wow. You know, and you never know, but we're all made different for a reason. Like, because we got to fit into our puzzle piece of this world. And it's not a predetermined by someone else or by your family or by whoever it is. It's like your puzzle piece, and you've got to be you to be able to, you know, help solve the problems and all that, you know?
Yeah.
You got your shape, however shape that is, but you can't keep it to yourself, you know?
Yeah. And I think the hardest part, not only just basic stage fright and like self-consciousness, but like the entirety of the structure of professional art is terrible. Like it is not built to pull out the best creatively of anyone. And it is not built to recruit the best of talented of everyone, right? There are lots of different things in the professional world that will draw in. And so because of that, because a lot of us who are naturally creative, this is our gift, like, don't fit into the boxes that the professional art wants us to be in, whatever they might be. And you know, live theater and film all have their own separate things. But like, you know, if you don't, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. You should still definitely do it. And I believe, I feel like we've learned this a little bit more with the pandemic, but like there are so many more avenues of sharing your art.
Yeah, definitely. And there's so many things that, like, kind of going off on the same little vein that you were on. When you think about it, there's only so many genres right now. There's only so many like labels and things, you know, we got to label everything. This is like such a labeling, you know, decade or whatever, past couple decades, but there's only so many. And like some of these genres of music are like relatively new in the past, like 20 to 50, 60 years, you know? And so yours may not fit because it's not supposed to. It might be a whole new genre, you know? And people have been finding that out with all these like subgenres and all that. Here in the last couple decades. And that's what me and my boyfriend were actually talking about. Like there's a space for everyone. And we try to think of, so Off the Wall is my brand, Off the Wall Theater, Off the Wall Media and Entertainment, you know, Off the Wall Work and Play Cafe, like everything is Off the Wall. And actually my theater director from high school helped me come up with that name.
Awesome.
Yes. Yes. I actually still am in contact with all of my theater teachers that I've ever had. Yes.
Amazing.
I still am super connected with them. Actually, we're going to go meet up with one in probably in the next week or so, one of my high school ones. But anyways, so Off the Wall, like, because I want it to be different. It's not like your traditional theater. It's not because when I was raised in theater, my teachers always did something a little different, you know? So I always took some of those things and then I take some things that I liked from this or for that. And so when I started teaching my own theater, I allow my kids to have a lot of input because I'm almost 35 and most of them are elementary age, middle school, high school. And so they're in a total like, what do I look like just teaching them something like, this is how you do it, this is how it must be done, blah, 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 because things are evolving. They know this world better than I know this world at this point, you know? So to stay up to date with the times, we grow and evolve. So I let them write their own shows. I let them tweak things. I let them pick the music, you know? And we all kind of come together on it and say, okay, so I see you want to do that. Why would you want to do that? You know, what's the reason behind that? So you can help someone else think outside the box, you know? Because in school, they're taught like, this is how it must be. This is how you do it. Da, 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 da. They don't have a lot of area for creativity. So we try to mix a little bit of the old school with the new school. And that's where we get off the wall, you know?
Tell me what it is that you're, that got you started into like creating a business to help other people. Like, and is it like an LLC? Is it like a big, large organization? Are you doing like a nonprofit? And I literally purely ask from the standpoint of curiosity in the arts organizations are fascinating kind of vibe.
So, not to go like super long into a novel, but growing up in theater, I was, as you know, as I found out that many people are, I was bullied. You know, I was a lot sicker than a lot of kids. I was 5'7" and a half, which I am right now, but I was that in sixth grade. I just went, I got that tall super early, and then I stayed that tall. So I was always kind of like goofy, a little off, a little like socially awkward. We moved a lot when I was a kid, so it was like, make friends, all right, so they're gone, make new friends, all right, so this is a lot. You know, like am I even gonna know you in 6 months, because I might move again, you know. So and then my mom's a teacher, so she's a stickler for vocabulary and grammar and ain't a word, you know, those kind of things. So I always spoke quote unquote proper, or, you know, a little more proper than most Texans, or, you know, people in the country, because we live in the country. So, you know, I had all those things stacked up against me. I was just this weird, like, colorful, odd girl who, you know. So I found theater, and theater pretty much like became my go-to. I made theater friends who, like, anything you did was like cool. It wasn't weird, it wasn't awkward, it was like, yes, they're dope, you know. So everything was so cool in theater. I grew up in it. And when I was in high school, my, like, okay, total buzzkill, my older brother, who was like my best friend, he passed away when I was in high school. My theater family was literally there the day it happened. They came over, they like wrapped me up, and they helped take my mind off of it. They loved on me. My theater directors at the time, shout out to Brazos Valley Troupe and Brian Collisation, they were at my brother's funeral. So, like, they literally were my family. And just having people you could talk to, I was aware enough through all of that to realize, like, my theater family is dope. You don't have to have family that's related to you, blood, or close to you. Like, you can have total strangers, you know, that you build bonds with and you do shows with and you travel with. And, you know, like, just people who choose to be in your life and choose to be around you that can be, like family or even better than family. So I when I graduated high school, I was not allowed to go into anything creative, no theater, no nothing. My mom was like, you're going into something that's going to make you money, and you're not going to go out there and be, you know, crazy and wild. So that was where, like, I liked medicine. So I just went into medicine. I was pre-med. I'm like, I'll just go ahead and be a doctor, you know, no big deal. I'll do that, you know. So I did. I went to Baylor. I was pre-med, the only theater class that they would let me take, since I was not a theater major or any kind of performing arts major. I could take theater appreciation.
That's a class?
It is a class. It is what you can take if you want to taste a theater, which, like, spoiler alert, there is no taste of theater in theater appreciation.
Oh,
it's like learning all the, like, boring things. So,
wow, that's what people, next time you're like talking to a creative person, you're like, you have this magical gift and you need to use it, because the rest of the people who don't have it have to go to theater appreciation class.
Yes.
We have different skills. We have different skills. Doctors, they don't even know how to appreciate theater.
Right. We have to be taught how to do that.
It's like heart surgery and theater appreciation. They really had to study.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. That,
take these classes where like actual doctors would come in and tell us how important it was that we continue to go on our path to become a doctor. You know, so it was like doctor appreciation class.
Oh, so they get that in early. Good. They're all like, yeah. Your ego should be large. Yeah, good.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
The man that comes in, it's like, at 40 years old, I decided I wanted to become a doctor. So that's when I started going to school for it. when I was 40. So anyways,
Man, that seems like really late to go in for like an 8 to 10 year program.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I applaud him. Do whatever you want, man. You're gonna live a long time. I was like, 40, though, could potentially not even be midlife. So, like, keep it going, bro. Have a good time.
Right, exactly. So I started really missing. I noticed that I hadn't been listening to music like I'm normally like always listening to music, always singing. And I noticed that I had gotten away from like drawing and painting, and everything was so analytical and back this up with evidence and make sure that this diagnosis is that, and what medication do you give to this person for this? And I was like, oh my gosh, like I had stopped, like before I knew it, it had been 10 years since I sang.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yes. And so, oh no. I love that. Beautiful. Oh no. That's how I felt.
I'm like, that's great that you could potentially have saved lives, but could you sing while you're doing it? Like, it just a little, right. Like, you know.
So I did sing, when you do chest compressions for CPR, you sing, staying alive, yep. Staying alive, or beat it. Oh. So that's how you like keep the rhythm of pumping on chest. Yeah. So I did that during some CPR episodes, you know, patients that needed to be resuscitated. So, you know, that's about it though.
Yeah. How did you transition then into EMS? Like, was it like you went to medical school, but you like were like, no thanks, I'm not going to be a doctor. But then you had all this education, so you thought, I should probably use it. And then you got the EMS job, or was it like you were still trying to follow the medical path and this was just like the first job out of school?
So I went to Baylor University, super expensive.
Very good school. They
with nice scholarships, but by the time your second year comes around, most of those drop off.
Oh.
So, yeah, I had to start working. And so I was like, well, they were offering a EMS course as an elective through the community college. Community college professors would come up to Baylor and teach the class. So I was like, okay. So I could start doing that, get some on the job training, start getting my hands into some blood, you know, pretty much. Get right in there.
Yeah.
And it goes along with what I'm doing and all that, because you have, so when you're pre-med, you have advisors that are strictly for pre-med students because they know what to tell you to do to get into medical school. So you can't have a job. So I figured I could get around that by it being EMS, you know, and it's medical. So it's like just training, extra training, you know.
Yeah.
And I did the money, and I was like, I get to drive an ambulance? Dope. So I did that for 6 years. And I actually started taking the class like my freshman year or something like that. So, it wasn't so much an afterthought. It was more of like a forethought, I guess.
Sure. It's like your work study.
Yes.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, for and real. Fun.
Very fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had like by then, like I kept feeling like this empty, like soul tugging, you know, I didn't know what was going on. It was stressing me out, you know, and I'm in this like high intensity bio lab, chem lab, biology, this, that, you know, healthcare perfect, blah, you know, all that. And I'm like, this is like, it's fun. I like it. My mom wants me to do it. Gotta do it. Yes. So continued medicine. I was in medical field for about 11 years. And then like I became a doula somewhere in there too. So doula, if you count doula, extended a little into like 15 years. But I was missing my kooky family, you know, my theater family, my people that made me feel like, you know, so I wanted my kids. Also, I had kids by then. I had two working on the third, and I just wanted them to grow up in that life. I wanted them to know theater, even if they ended up not liking it. Like, I just wanted to give them that chance. And turns out my oldest son, he's crazy kooky like me. So he doesn't fit into the normal standards of people. So he met theater people and he's like, oh, bleh. And they're like, yeah. And he's like, bleh, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I didn't set out to start my own theater because I was not confident in myself. My theater teachers could do that, but not me. You know, I was just the student. By now I'm like, you know, 30 years old, but still, like, you know, when it comes to things that you're not confident in, you feel like you're five, you know?
Yep.
And so I was like, all right, so I'm just going to join whatever theater's around here. I had moved to Waller County at that time, little podunk Waller County. And I was like, whatever's around here, I'm getting my kids involved. I'm going to volunteer, start looking it up. Can't find anything. And I'm like, no, you know, there must be something behind this bush. No, okay, there must be something in this closet. No theaters were close by. So I heard this voice that was like, start one. And I was like, ah, no, you got to be talking to someone else. It's funny, haha. So a couple of weeks go by and it's getting stronger and stronger. And I'm like, all right, listen, by that time I'm going through a divorce. My life is so unstable. I just had a baby. I have two older kids and I'm like, how could I start a business right now? This is crazy. It doesn't make sense. And kept hearing it. It was getting louder and louder. And like, I could literally feel my like soul, like being tugged. And I was like, all right, so I'm going to ignore all that. But you know what? If all this, like, I don't have money, you know, if this all lines up and I find a place to do it and I find the people that want to do this thing with me, then maybe I'll start it. Okay. But if that doesn't happen, I don't have to start it. Huh? So, it comes to a Friday and I randomly saw somebody in the store and I was telling them about, you know, the theater, there's no theaters. There's this weird idea that I might start my own. I don't know. And they were like, well, if you go talk to the community center, you don't have to pay to hold classes there, that you hold them for free. And I was like, all right. And they were like, so you should call them. So Monday I call them and I'm like, but I still don't have the people to be in the theater class, you know? So that was, you know, and it was a two-part thing. I had to have both of those. So I call them and they're like, oh my gosh, we've been wanting someone to do this. That's so awesome. And there's so many kids here that would love to do it. And I was like, all right, then I'm starting a theater.
Man, it all came together. You couldn't even get away from it. You were running as far as you could and it kept following you.
Correct. So started off as a nonprofit. Then as my business grew, I got a space and I wanted to do other things other than just theater. So I have a nonprofit and then I also have for profit. And
smart. Smart.
So, yeah. So I keep my theater things and then all the other things I can just, you know, kind of be just the business owner. And it's not like I have to go to the board for everything, you know, or we have to make a decision or, you know, so
yeah.
Red tape, all that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. We're my husband and I are an LLC. So like okay. We run all of our freelance stuff through the LLC, like all of our different things that we do are just a different DBA underneath that. And, so. And, you know, that's just the way our business works. So I'm always fascinated to see how other people are, you know, making it work. And I like the half nonprofit, half LLC thing because there's different things for sure.
Yeah.
Especially with the youth theater stuff. Like, you got to get some grants for that. People are dying to give money for kids to theater. So
correct.
You just got to take it, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I can't take it. because that's not my system. So I love that. A few of the local kids theaters here in Austin have that set up where it's like, okay, business end is this, and then the classes and are on the nonprofit. Right. And I was like, fascinating. I'm interested in that. I mean, there's just something really interesting about the... It's almost like how doctors have to appreciate theater, right? Like, we have to know something about business to do this. It might not be exactly how our brains work. Like, there's a lot about it that I don't get.
Yeah.
But the beauty of theater groups and theater people is that there's a bunch of them, right? So I don't feel bad when I have to find a CPA to do my taxes because... I don't know how to do those things. They're just part of the team. They're just one of the people in the team, right? I'm like, yeah, you want to be part of my team? Come on over. You can take care of taxes. And they're like, great. Yeah. You know.
What's about that is with the youth theater, I would always have a parent that did something. So anything that I needed, there was like, oh, so-and-so's dad does that. Yes. You know, like. It's almost like Girl Scouts to them. So they're like, they're going to volunteer their time or they're going to help out, you know? And they all, like, most of my parents just have such kind, giving hearts. They're like, all right, cool. They're used to the PTA, PTO thing. They're used to, all right, so what do we need to, you know, roll up our sleeves? Some of them help throughout. Some of them on the, like, days of the shows, they're like, all right, I can't do much, but on the day of the show, I got you. Or I'll take this home and I'll make costumes, or I will fix all, like, I'll donate some computers, or I'll, you know, like, I'll get all the stuff off of Amazon, whoever doesn't have costumes, you know, like, whatever it is, like, the parents all kind of jump in. You don't really get that so much when dealing with adults, but you can usually get them to come and help, you know, be like, okay, I'm offering booze if everyone comes paint. Oh, we'll paint for some alcohol or we'll come paint for some, for a meal, you know, like cook a meal and they all show up, you know?
Yeah.
So a little different. I said alcohol. Yes. We're going to put that off. But on the record, yes.
No, I mean, it's legit. You can get anyone to come work for you if you offer some beer, for sure. That's also, pro tip to people listening, also how you get them to help you move.
Yes.
Just throwing that out there. Yeah. I mean, while we're tossing out tips, it's not terrible. Also, adults old enough to drink, so it's okay.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. You know, you're right, though, that, like, the parent... child scenario, there's a lot more like willingness to help, being interested in that kind of thing. But yeah, adults, they don't do that. They don't do that. It's weird. I don't know that I'm that surprised necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, also now that I have my own child, I'm extra not surprised because I'm like, I'd do anything for my kid. Like, I'm like, what?
Right.
You know, there are so many ridiculous things where I'm like, why am I doing this? But but I keep coming and I keep doing it.
Maybe the only one whose parent didn't come and help, you know?
Right.
So you're like, I gotta be there because what if my kid's like, you're the only parent that didn't show up and I was by myself. So.
Also, the other thing about being a theater person, okay, and living in life is that, you know, you have the skills of talking to people and not being afraid to talk to people. And turns out most other people have that fear. And so when I find a situation like the PTA that I joined at my kid's school, I joined it immediately because everyone I spoke to about it seemed real meek. And I was like, oh, yeah, no. I was like, hold on, I'll join. What do you need? Yeah, no problem. I got, excuse me, we need this. Like, I am not. You know, I'm not shy. I'm not afraid. Right. I will go in And the other nice thing, and I feel like this is probably the case for you as well, especially with all the people being drawn to you, your personality draws people to you. There's something about a comfort that people feel. And when people feel comfortable with me, I feel like it's my responsibility to continue to be that.
Right. Yeah. So I do have a question for you because I'm going to ask you actually first before I say why. So you're very bubbly, outgoing, you have no problem going to say whatever you need to say to whoever. Is that how you are behind doors as well?
Meaning like in my own home? Yeah.
Well, not in your own home, but like, you know, is that like your preference? Are you just that person?
I mean, I'm certainly quieter at home, but yeah, I mean, I think that I am assertive. I'm assertive about what I want. I try to make people feel comfortable wherever we are, you know, not just in theater or in large crowds, you know, small groups, friends, right. Stuff like that. You know, if I think one of my friends needs something and they're not piping up, I'll try to get it for them. You know, whatever the thing is that people don't want to say about themselves. I think about that even in these conversations. When I talk to people, now you've been very generous with stories and your kindness, and you've clearly got this like beautiful community around you. But a lot of people that I talk to are still figuring it out. You know, they don't necessarily believe in themselves as deeply or they're right. part of something, but they don't know what their place in it is. And they don't right. know what their personal strengths are. And I think that that's something that comes with getting older, you know, right. to appreciate the parts of yourself. And so I like to help people recognize what those things are, which is why I like opened up the whole conversation with like immediate analysis. Like,
yeah, I love it. That's always me. I'm always analyzing everyone else. Like no one ever dares to try to. And I'm like, no, tell me. I want to know. Like, what did I do wrong? No one ever tells me what I do wrong. I'm like, please. I need to know so I can fix it. And they're like, you're perfect. I'm like, I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I have all of that. Like, everyone's just like, oh, everything you do is golden. I'm like, no, it's not. And you know it. Like, tell me, you know?
Sometimes it's hard, especially other people who are not quite so assertive. You know what I mean? Like, I can see, I feel a kindred spirit in you in that when you want something, you get it. Like, even if it takes time and effort, like you're gonna make it to that thing, which is also why people are drawn to you as well, because they're like, I want that power. Now, I don't know that we can give that power to other people, but we can certainly help them to channel whatever their skill is, and maybe they're part of a team that can get stuff done, you know. But yeah, I mean, we all have different skills and you need to embrace them. When I was 18, I got into a fight with my like friend in high school because he called me the mom of the group. And I got mad. I got mad because I felt like that meant that I was uncool or trying to make them do stuff just because, you know. I mean, that's kind of what moms were. They were uncool and telling me to do stuff I didn't want to do, you know? So I was like, I'm not like that. But I realize now that I totally am like that. And it's okay. And it's good. You know, it's actually just right. You know, it fits perfectly with all the work that I do to be the person who it's like, I can give you a hug. Like, it's going to be all right. Don't you worry. Or like, you know what? We're going to figure out how to get this done. Don't worry. I'll call 16 calls before we get to Health and Human Services. No problem. Let's start with number one. Okay. You know, just different things like even things like as silly. We were talking earlier about, the, you know, having the baby and healthcare.gov. Very difficult to some people. I'm like, let me do it for you. Come here. Let's sit down. Yes. I'll do it. I'll take care of it for you. Just little things where I'm like, I can help you. What can I do to help you? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I used to not like that part of myself, or I used to think that was not the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people do that in their own lives. You know, like they take for granted their own gifts and they don't understand why they have them and they don't see why it's helpful. And it takes a while. It takes a long time and a lot of different kinds of jobs. Like, like I'm loving the story of the journey of all your jobs because they're so a wonderful, like little Candyland path to get where you are. You know what I mean? But I mean, even the EMS training is got to be helpful in youth theater. If I knew that like a former ambulance driver was taking care of my child at their camp, I'd be like, yeah, he's fine.
Yes. Like, so that's actually something I mentioned in the new parent meeting or whenever they come for open house. And I'm like, I know some of y'all are totally terrified. Like, what is this crazy theater stuff? You know, especially out in Waller County, because like I said, I was the pioneer. I started it. It wasn't out there. Right. So they're just bringing their kids to something that they think might be good for them. They don't know, you know? And so the very first day I'd say, hey, you know, like, I know it's really scary to leave your kid, you know, because we do closed rehearsals. We do not have parents there. But I'm like, I drove ambulances for 6 years. So at least, you know, if your kid choked on a piece of candy, I got them, you know? And so usually like that would, you could see like a sigh of relief. Like, I don't know, like, I don't know what they're going to learn in here. I don't know what they're going to do still, but she was a paramedic, so I can trust her. You know, people's lives are in her hands. So, and my mom has always said, like, that I'm so cool, calm, and collected. You know, when things get tough, I can, like, see straight through the storm, you know? And I used to get teased for that when I was in track. I was a shot put and discus thrower, and my coach called me Eeyore because he was like, nothing excites you. You're, you know, like, you just do what you gotta do. You talk slow, you move slow. And I'm like, I'm just calculated. I don't know. So I got teased for it. And it ended up being like a really good strength because I was able to be at the scene of an accident and focus on what I need to focus on, but also being around my, aware of my surroundings, you know, childbirth. I've been in the room with plenty of women who are giving childbirth. That is not a fun time for a lot of people. And I was able to make the mood lighter, make them feel comfortable, take away some pain, I believe. I hope so, you know. And funny story, like totally, I'm being so ADD right now. When I was in college, one of the jobs that I got was babysitting. And I babysat these twins. And, you know, mind you, I'm like 19. Babysitting twins of a Baylor tennis coach. And the mom was like on the board for the city for like green earth things and stuff like that. So she was like Miss like Naturalista, you know. And so she ran like triathlons or, you know, she did all that kind of stuff. Sometimes she would call me and she'd say, hey, can you come over? And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, what do you need? But like, how long, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I don't even need you to babysit. I just want your calming spirits to be near me. And she would say, I will pay you. I just want you to come sit with me. You don't have to watch the kids. I'm here. I just want you to come sit with me. And I would literally come sit with her. Just sit with her. And we just chit chat while she's doing her things. And she's like, oh my gosh, you're bringing my anxiety down so much right now. And I'm like, all right, I have a power I didn't know I had.
That's a good power.
Right. Man. I just thought of that. Like, that could be a business.
It totally could. You could make millions for sure. But also I'm sure it's quite helpful for theater people and the people that you're currently in business with, to have your calming, you know, vibe help them. 'Cause the hardest part about making a decision that's not ordinary is believing in yourself to accomplish it. I mean, honest to goodness, right now, in this time of mid to post pandemic situation, like
possible four, three.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we need calming situations, right? And, you know, we're also like, the best thing for us is to connect with the larger community that we have, right? So that's what you're already doing it, right? Yeah. You found a way to use this skill to help people. And, and that's, there's so many people out there that, that's what I was thinking. There are so many people out there that were freelance before the pandemic. And then it just rocked them to their core to have that, like maybe their job was gone. Maybe they got way less of the job during the pandemic. And, you know, so they left. They don't do that anymore. A lot of creatives as well, you know, they're now real estate agents in Austin making millions. Like there's just so many. And I'm like, you know, it's okay. Don't be sad, because really, it just means that those of us that are left were the diehards. We're the right. ones who couldn't, like really couldn't. You know how they say, if you could do something else, you should do it. Boy, howdy, have the last 2 years been opportunity after opportunity of find something else. Yes. Find something else. Yes. Even culturally. And that, I talk about this way too much, and I promise it'll just be 1 second, and then we'll go back to your wonderful career, which I'm very interested in talking about. But people during the pandemic talking about how they didn't need art, and art was unnecessary, and artists need to calm down. I was like... How are you making it through the pandemic? Are you reading a book or watching a television show? Huh. Right. Who made those? That's so right. crazy. Huh. Cool. You know that blanket that you have? Who do you think made that blanket? Oh.
Right.
Oh, a designer. Oh, goodness. And the thing you're looking at, the piece of art on the wall that makes you feel better, you know, because it kind of looks like the ocean. Yeah, somebody made that too. Like, yeah. like there is literally, and so despite the fact that they were verbally trying to tell us we were no good, I was like, your actions speak louder than your words, buddy. There, you can't get enough of us. You'll never get enough of us. You need us so desperately. Like,
yeah.
Ugh.
Yes.
Ugh. I've never been more sure that I was in the right path.
Right.
Then when I had no job and had no future potential of having a job in theater, was I more sure that that was the right thing that I needed to do.
Wow. I love that.
Mm-mm. And to your point about how your current vibe is helping people figure out, like, how to navigate unorthodox choices in their lives, like, honest to goodness, if I hadn't done to your people... I'll tell you, if I hadn't been a freelance person who had just mm-hmm. had random jobs, random checks, put them together, how much money do we have? Cool, we can pay these bills, and these ones right. don't get paid. You know, navigating that kind of lifestyle helped during the pandemic so much. Because right. there was never a sure location where the money was coming from. Occasionally yes. it was the government. Occasionally it was a grant. Occasionally it was some other random thing where I'd be yeah. like, they'd be like, yeah, whatever random tiny, you know, also my husband developed 1,000 side hustles, you know, things like yeah. that, where we'd be like, ooh, $50. What are we going to do with this? You know, right. stuff like that. If I didn't have that skill beforehand, I mean, I don't know that I would have made it through. Right? Yeah. I mean, like, and I feel like exercising the parts of you that deal with the adversity of unorthodox choices is mm-hmm. important. It helps yeah. you become a better, like, adult, because there's so much weird adulting you have to do. But if you're like, yeah, I can fill out 47 forms in one day. Got it.
Right.
No problem.
Right. Yeah, our freak out factor is a lot, it's a lot bigger, you know, it's a lot different than I've seen people like freak out over the smallest things. And I'm like, I learned that in middle school, like doing a theater production where something went wrong and we had to, or somebody got sick, you know, or, you know, I thank God for my theater training. I feel like everybody should at least have to be in two shows, at least two shows in their life. Everyone has to, because that will teach them so much about things that you cannot control and how to do, what to do with it when you plan for everything and something still goes wrong. Dude, yep. Our last show that we had last summer, because I'm just crazy. So this city, I don't know how much you know about Houston, but there's a small city called Jersey Village. That's just like, it's pretty much a neighborhood, but they made it a city. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they wanted me to bring theater to their park. So I did Theater in the Park with Heath last summer. We did Alice in Wonderland. And so I asked the kids at the beginning of the, you know, brand new kids, never seen any of them ever. I had three of my old theater kids that would come and help out. but pretty much brand new children. I was like, okay, so we could either do a stage on the basketball court, you know, under the pavilion, put a stage out there, control everything, have everything on the stage, you know, make all the sets and all that kind of stuff, or we could use the elements of the park. And they were like, we're going to use the elements of the park, you know? So I'm like, all right, cool. So all of our show was done on different pieces of the playground. The different places that Alice went were on different parts of the playground. And we just set up different scenes, set up lighting and blah, blah. No matter how much we prepared for that, there was no way we'd be able to know what was going to happen every day. And, you know, it's Texas. So our first, I think we did three performances. First two performances went pretty great. The first one, you know, we had tech issues. We solved those by the second one. And, you know, some of the issues we solved by the third one. Like, everything was like, you know, it was just so fun. The kids were having, it was exciting. The last performance, it was supposed to rain. So it was supposed to rain this last two performances. I prayed, you know, that the rain would not hit us. First day went by smooth. Second day, it rained right after. Third day, we get to the last 15 minutes of the show. It's their last show. The kids have finally figured out, oh my gosh, it's the last show that we're going to do together. Oh my gosh, like, you know how you start getting that, like, oh, our cast is never going to be again, blah, blah, blah. It's never going to be the same. So they're like excited for this last performance, and lightning, not just rain. We have lightning. The last 30 minutes of the show, we could see it getting closer and closer. And I'm like, oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh. So me on the outside, you got this, you know, like, yeah, giving thumbs ups when they're hitting their lines and they're doing things that they just remembered that they forgot to do the last couple days, you know, all that jazz. Like, everything's going beautiful, perfect performance. And then 15 minutes before the end of the show, I was like, I got on the microphone and I was like, I'm so sorry, I'm going to have to stop y'all. The lightning's getting close and I need all my kids to be safe, you know, so we're going to have to stop. You know, I need everyone to be safe, but, you know, these are my children. So I'm like, we gotta pack it up. And so I sent all the kids under the pavilion, all the parents and all the other people worked together to get everything out before we all got rained on. And I'm just sitting there thinking in my head, how are these children going to react? Most of them have never acted before. They thought it was going to be perfect and everything's going to be wonderful and flowers and daisies. So I've got to come over here and talk to them, see where their heads are. They were excited. They were just like, that was so cool. We didn't get to do the last 15 minutes, but now forever we can be like, we had this show. And right afterward, it was like a huge lightning storm and we must have caused it because we were so awesome. Like, and I'm like, this right here. Yes. You know, like, you just don't get, like, and that is a moment that they will never forget, you know, like they will always remember, like, hopefully in their life, something will come to them, you know, that's tougher than they think that they can handle. And they'll say, oh, remember that day that we did this in theater? Remember when someone got sick, someone had to quarantine the last week and someone had to memorize their lines that same day, you know, we all worked together and like, if I could do that, you know, I could do this, you know? And that's just what, like, I feel like theater teaches you to, like, look in that Barney bag. There's something that's going to muster up the strength, and if you have a can-do attitude, you can get through it. You might need to bring someone else into it to help you get through it, you know? And I just want that for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. No, your positivity is great. Like, the energy and support that you have coming off of you for all the people in the community and the kids and wanting them to benefit the way you've benefited from your great theater teachers. Like, it's so lovely, this little circle of life of, like, the theater teachers inspired you and now you're inspiring other kids. It's so lovely. to bring it full circle in that way. Not completely full circle, because you're still young and we have many more years of other theatrical exciting projects. And I can see you're a project girl. So we've come up with like 3 businesses just during this phone conversation.
Right.
Like
I've started. So when I come up with a new business, I'm like, I'm going to donate that idea to someone else. So we've got 3 new businesses for someone else.
I'm telling you, they're available and they've all been recorded. So like, if you guys want them, good luck. If you can be calm guy and just sit with people, I think that one could be really, that could be some viral stuff going on with that. Like
emotional support person.
Yeah. They just like hang out with you, or they like come and just sit and you're like, yeah, man.
Yes.
Yeah. I like this. Yeah. And like not therapy, like not talking about your problems, but just sitting with that person.
Yeah.
That's nice. Now I don't think I'm calming at all, but but I want to be now. Now I'm like, I want to do it.
You're like, okay, so you give really good, like, happy vibe. You're very funny, like, naturally. Like, it just comes out like that, and I love it. And you have a really, like, like a support. Like, I feel like if we were to hang out, like, I could do anything possible ever, because you're like, yes. And just that one yes is going to make me be like, oh my God, I can do it. Like, she said yes, you know, like, you got a really, I don't know how to, what's the word for that?
I don't know. I'm feeling good about it though, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like how we've analyzed each other, and also nobody ever analyzes me, so I'm all like, tell me, what is it? I like talking about me. Wait, this is not about me. This is no. Right. Oh, man. That's the hardest part about doing the podcast, is that like it secretly is all about me, but like it's also about hundreds of other artists and stuff like that and their journeys. But like, if you're a regular listener, you know it's about me.
It's about you.
Yeah.
As it should. I need to see you. You're in Austin. We actually were in Austin like a few months ago, but it's just down the road.
I'm in Houston a lot, so don't worry. I was like, we'll meet. This is gonna happen. No, because my husband could use your energy too.
Yes.
Yeah, he needs your calming energy. You might need to just sit with him a little bit. So
I'll do it. He comes in, I'm just sitting there, you're like, don't mind her, just take in the energy.
He's pretty gregarious up top though, so he might want to talk to you as well. Oh man, that's so funny. All right, so one final question and I'm going to let you go back to your exciting life. So one last thing I want to ask you is about you. You are helping all these other people. You are putting yourself out there. You're creating opportunities for a bunch of other people, and it's clearly wonderful and you enjoy it. But like, what do you do to creatively fill up your own cup?
So that is actually something I just started thinking about not too long ago. So because I am just now, so I just got back into the creative world when I was about 30. I'm about to be 35 in just a few weeks. And so I figured, well, I spent all of my youth, you know, my young adult time in medicine, and now I'm all of a sudden trying to be creative again, trying, quote unquote, and I feel like I'm too old now, so I just got to be put in a teacher-director position. So that's where my head has been for the past 4 years, and at the end of last year, I ended up singing in a Christmas concert with some adults. They really made me. I just wanted to, you know, direct and set it all up. They were like, no, you're gonna sing. So yikes for anyone's ears who heard that, sorry. I've been on a hiatus for like 15 years, but I had so much fun being on stage. I was nervous to crap. I was sweating the entire time. Like, but I had fun. I got off the stage and, you know, from the time I was like 6 or 7 until 18, I was on the stage every year of my life, multiple times throughout the year, choir, theater, in school and out of school throughout most of my life. So, or most of my, you know, childhood. So it was really like crazy being back on the stage. And I realized, you know, I can still create, like do things, you know? So I, when I get the urge to do things, I would start. So I painted. I hadn't painted in probably since school. And I painted this beautiful painting and I just went with it. I was like, I don't know how to paint. I'm just going to do it. And it's beautiful. Everyone loves it. Like, they're like, how long have you been painting? This is wonderful. How many of these do you have? Can I buy some? And I'm like, I just did this on a whim, you know, just because it was like trying to come out of me. So I am actually just now in the past like 4 or 5 months trying to like open up my creativity again and get back out there. I haven't been on the stage. Like I haven't done anything. So to answer your question, like that's just beginning because I just figured out that, you know, I don't have to be stuck in the teacher director position. I can still do things as well. So I've sang my whole life. I love singing, but my voice is not there yet. So I'm just trying to find, you know, where to wiggle in and how to grow and, you know, get back to, I don't know, to be continued.
Yeah, that's good. To be continued is absolutely a great thing. I mean, we have so many more years to go. Like I was saying, you know, 40, you know, used to be somewhere in the high region. Now, for most people, yeah. For a lot of people, that's not even halfway. So, you know, there's a lot more adventure to be had, right? So many more things. And you're still in the mom role, right? So you've got like, yes. You've got like that part of your journey. And then, oh, baby. And then you've got all sorts of different, you know, journeys that you have ahead of you, and think of all the different kinds of people you're going to meet, just connecting with them to help them. Each one of them has something for you. They're like little crystals coming into your life with a little bit of energy for you, you know?
Yes. Yes. I adore everyone that God puts in my path. There's like, he just puts the most beautiful people in my path. It's amazing. I love it. Like, I'm just excited, you know, like you're saying right now, to the next person, because how we just randomly met on a whim through a group, and look at this. Like, I love it. Yeah. This is like the best conversation I've had in a long time.
Oh, good. That's so great. Oh, Bria, thank you so much for being on the podcast and being part of the experience of Yes But Why. I really appreciate you.
Yes, well, I appreciate you for having me. And we've got to meet up now.
Yeah, right? Some business. We've got businesses. We've got to start them.
Yes, we need some Austin connections. You got Houston connections right here. We got
That's
you.
Right. That's right.
Thank you for listening to Yes But Why Podcast. Check out all of our episodes on yesbutwhypodcast.com or check out all the content on our network, HC Universal, at hcuniversalnetwork.com.